He wasn't after anything. There wasn't any agenda with him. He's just like, you know what? David's out here. His men are hungry. I'm going to take a bunch of food. I'm going to bless him. You know, it's a good thing to do, to bless other people, to be a blessing to other people. A lot of times we're very concerned about being blessed, but we should be more concerned about blessing others, especially as Barzillai saw David in this place of, it was a tough place. And Barzillai thought, you know what? I'm going to go bless this man.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today in the studio, we have one of David's associate pastors, D.A. Brown. Welcome, brother.
Hey, Bob. It's great to be here. We want to take a minute to pray for some cities in our listening audience. Hope everyone prays with me. Holbrook, Payson, Pine Top, Winslow, Yuma, Arizona, Bentonville, Fayetteville, Arkansas. God, we pray that many in these cities would tune in and listen today. God, we pray that if some are under the weather, sick, not feeling well, that you would heal them, God, for your glory. Lord, we also pray that some would give their lives to you, receive your grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. We pray that these cities would get excited about following you, and the churches would fill up, and you give the pastors wisdom and discernment on how to expound upon your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother. I think it's awesome that we're lifting up to the Lord those listeners that hear us right at this moment. And as we're going into the teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 19, D.A., what are some of the lessons we should look for and take away?
Bob, Pastor Dave is going to remind us today in 2 Samuel, it's important that we remember others are going through things. And we should consider those things that they're going through.
That only applies to our friends, right?
No, Bob. God says to love our enemies too.
Well, let's listen as David McGee finishes up 2 Samuel chapter 19, and we can absorb and learn some more of these things.
We find ourselves in the midst of this story of 2 Samuel, in the midst of the story of Absalom. Absalom was the son of David, who at one time was probably going to be heir to the king. But a lot of things happened, and regrettably, Absalom was probably not that heir anymore. And even if he was the heir, Absalom wasn't patient enough to allow God's timing. And so Absalom created a rebellion. He led part of the kingdom of Israel against David. There was a big battle. Absalom was killed. And we find David in the midst of this. Chapter 19, verse 18. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, "Do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" Verse 22, and David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel?" This is interesting. I think, once again, here's something that we can grab onto. David says, you know what? Who's this guy? He came out throwing rocks at me before and saying words. And now he comes out and he's saying words again. And you're asking if I want to take him out. You know what? We don't need to take him out. But notice what David says. "For do I not know that today I'm king over Israel?" David knew who he was. There was a confidence in who he was that this little guy, Shimei, coming out, didn't matter. And in essence, David says, you know what? I know who I am. I'm not worried about this guy. Verse 23, "Therefore the king said to Shimei, 'You shall not die,' and the king swore to him. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace." It was a type of mourning. He wasn't just being like weird and uncleanly. It was a type of mourning. He was really looking forward to the king's return. We should be looking forward to the king's return. How much anticipation is there in your life for the return of Jesus Christ? I understand some days more than others, but there should be a general sense of, man, I can't wait till Jesus gets back. I just can't wait. I just can't wait till the return of the King. Verse 25, so it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? Now let's remember, Ziba had come out and said, Mephibosheth is after the throne and all these things. And verse 26, and he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go to the king because your servant is lame. Verse 27, and he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your eyes. Angel of God also would be messenger of God. And, you know, we looked at that place where the guy wrote, he came to give David a message and he really didn't have a message. Make sure you have a message in your life. And your primary message is talking about the love of God and the forgiveness of God and what God has done in your life. And that kind of creates all of us to be messengers. Verse 28, for all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I still to cry out any more to the king? So he's saying, you know, whatever you want to do, David. And let's remember that David, maybe in a rash moment, told Ziba that he could have everything that Mephibosheth owned. When Ziba was talking about that Mephibosheth was in conspiracy against him. Probably a rash decision, but here's what happened. Verse 29, so the king said to him, why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land. So at least now he has half. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, rather let him take it all inasmuch as my lord the king has come in back in peace to his own house. So we see the heart of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth's like, I don't care about the land. I'm just glad that you're back. I'm glad that you're here. It's interesting as you see David coming back in that all these injustices, they're getting righted. I think there's a bigger picture going on. So if you're going through this life and you're thinking this life is just, it's not. If you're thinking that our judicial system is able to enforce justice to a complete degree, friend, it ain't going to happen. Now, does that mean we'll never have justice? Absolutely not. We will have justice when he who is just returns. Then we will have justice. David's walking in and he's correcting all these things. And we have to understand that there's some things that won't be corrected until the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 31, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies when he had stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. Keep your finger right there. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 17. Let's read a couple of verses at the end of chapter 17, just to remind ourselves who Barzillai was. Chapter 17, verse 27. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Machirah the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogelim brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Whenever you're in life, and occasionally you do go through the desert, but even in the desert, the Lord sets a table out for you. The Lord will set a table for you even in the wilderness and bless you and take care of you. So this is what this guy had done in verse 33. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. Barzillai said to the king, how long will I have to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king repay me with such a reward? So you see his pure heart. He was just blessing David to bless David. I believe he knew that David was God's man and he just wanted to bless him. He wasn't after anything. There wasn't any agenda with him. He's just like, you know what? David's out here. His men are hungry. I'm going to take a bunch of food. I'm going to bless him. You know, it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do, to bless other people, to be a blessing to other people. A lot of times we're very concerned about being blessed, but we should be more concerned about blessing others, especially as Barzillai saw David in this place of, it was a tough place. And Barzillai thought, you know what, I'm going to go bless this man. He's in the middle of a hard time. I'm going to go bless him. Whether it's a small kindness or a big kindness, we should be kind to people. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. We're told in another place in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Kindness, being kind to people, to be a blessing to one another. Here's the life lesson. We should be kind to one another, especially when someone is down or beat up. The Bible talks about us being kind. If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was an extremely kind person. He was very sensitive to the needs of people around him. And I think that's important for us to walk in and as we're following Jesus. And so in the midst of this, you know, the king says to Barzillai, he says, you know what, you've been such a blessing to me. Let me buy you dinner. Let me feed you. And so Barzillai says, you know what, I'm very old. I don't want to make the trip to Jerusalem. I can't really taste food anymore. I can't hear music very well. I'll just stay here and God bless you. You know, I mean, he appreciated the hospitality of David, but he wasn't going to go with him. And again, we see that pure in his motivation. Look at this. He asked in verse 37, please let your servant turn back again that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you. And the king answered, Chimham shall cross over with me and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now, whatever you request of me, I will do for you. So he's going to bless Chimham, who's probably his son, in the way that he was going to bless Barzillai. Let's note something, because there's something that's missing in this chapter, in the sense of here's this victorious military leader who's quelled this rebellion, who's coming back in, and notice what's absent. He's not coming back in and going, okay, I want the guys who are responsible for this, I want to line them up against the wall. I want to know who they are. I want to know who they are before sundown, and I'm taking them out. David doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, he's making this appeal that those who were in the rebellion, part of the rebellion, that they now agree to unity and come over and serve with him. That's an amazing thing. Once again, we see a picture of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you know what? All of us were rebelling against God. All of us were astray. That's what the Bible says. All of us have gone astray. And God says, you know what? You've been rebellious. You're guilty. But then when we come to him and say, you know what, God, I'm guilty, please forgive me. God says, okay. He doesn't say, well, no, wait a minute. Up against the wall, got to take you out. No, I think we understand that the essence of the gospel is that God the Father sentenced God the Son for our rebellion. It's an amazing thing. We can mistakenly get this picture when we read the book of Revelation. And note that it's singular, the book of Revelation. It's not the book of Revelations. Most people say the revelations say it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's only one singular revelation of Jesus Christ that we're building the church on now. You can read the book of Revelation and you can think, well, Jesus is coming back and he's going to whoop up all the bad guys and he's going to be like, woo, taking them out, buddy. No, that's not it at all. Now, he will be coming in truth and he will be coming in judgment. But do you understand why even this evening, why God is waiting to come back? I have to be honest. If I was God, and we can all be thankful that I'm not, but if I was God, I'd have pulled the plug on this thing like a long time ago. As I watched people hurting each other and doing all the stuff that we do, I'd have looked at it and said, well, that's it. That's it. These people are going nowhere. But he keeps waiting. Why does he keep waiting? We're told, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish. So he's giving more time for everyone to repent. Now, friend, if you're in here tonight and that verse is not consistent with who you believe God to be, you have to change your vision of who you believe God to be. If you think he's some cosmic spiritual cowboy waiting to come in and clear out Dodge City, you got the wrong picture. He's waiting and waiting and waiting. But even as David returned to Jerusalem, you need to understand something. At some point, the waiting's over. Now, I don't know what point that is. You don't know what point that is. Somewhere in this world, when somebody comes forward and asks Jesus to forgive them of their sins, that's going to be the last one. It's going to be it. And you have to wonder. I wonder sometimes on Sunday mornings, I see people come up front. I think, was this it? Is the door getting ready to be closed? It's a really sad place in the Bible where the door of the ark was shut and people began. You know what happened? They began to beat on the door saying, let us in. We were wrong. And probably they thought somewhere along the line, well, you know, when it starts raining, then I'll go make friends with Noah. But it was too late. It was too late. Don't wait too long.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there, too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 39, then all the people went over the Jordan, and when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. Verse 40, now the king went on to Gilgal, and Shimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah escorted the king and also half the people of Israel. Just then all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king, his household, and all David's men with him across the Jordan? This is kind of an old division that's being brought back up. If you remember when David first, he was first made a leader over the tribe of Judah, not over all of Israel. 7 years later, he was made king over all of Israel. And so here's this old division taking place again. These old wounds tear open. Why? Because of the crisis. When we hit crisis, either as an individual or as a body, as a church, it tells a lot about us. Because what you find is in the middle of a crisis, people are either their worst or they're your best. It's been said believers are like tea bags. You don't know what's in them until you put them in hot water. And then once you get in the middle of crisis, you learn a lot about yourself and those people around you. And so here we are in the crisis, and this old division pops up. And it's kind of interesting because, hey, I mean, just a chapter ago, these guys were joined against David, fighting against them, and now all of a sudden they're fighting over him. Kind of points out the fickleness of humanity, doesn't it? Verse 42, so all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is a close relative of ours. Why then are you angry over this matter? Have we ever eaten at the king's expense, or has he given us any gift? So they got this back and forth. Because the division comes in, and it's going to last hundreds of years, this division that's starting now. And why is the division being created? Same reason divisions all, because there's people, they're thinking of themselves. The nation of Israel isn't going, well, you know, David's from the tribe of Judah. It kind of makes sense that they would have this little reunion thing going on. But they didn't think of the other person. The tribe of Judah didn't look at the other tribes, the nation of Israel, and go, well, you know what? He's the returning king. We should share this moment with him. No, that's not what happened. And when people only begin to consider themselves, there's always tension. There's always division that gets introduced. It's a very interesting thing. You know, a few years ago, they came up with this whole theory that the thing that's wrong with us as individuals is that we lack a esteem for ourselves. We lack self-esteem. You know, I've never seen that played out in the highways of America. When you're trying to get in on a busy highway, you ever seen a lack of self-esteem? I haven't. You know, it's interesting because one time I did a word study because I was, you know, what does the Bible have to say about esteeming self? Here's what it says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So we're to esteem others higher than ourselves. Final life lesson, we should consider others. What other people are thinking, what other people are feeling. Because if we do that, we set the tone, we set the model. We set the model in our home, we set the model in our workplace, we set the model in our churches. Verse 43, and the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 shares in the king, therefore we also have more right to David than you. Why then do you despise us? Were we not the first to advise bringing back our king? Yet the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of men of Israel. We have 10 shares in the king. It's like they're treating him like a public stock or something. There's an exchange that's very interesting. In verse 19, when Shimei says, don't impute iniquity to me. He says that to the king. And David says, okay, you're not going to die. And David meant that day. And we're reminded. We're reminded that we need to approach our king and say, God, don't impute, don't assign, don't mark our spiritual scorecard with iniquity on it. Please forgive us. The Bible, 1 John, says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But notice the verse starts with if. If we confess our sins. The sin that you can't be forgiven of is the sin that you're not willing to go to God about. The Bible, Psalm 32, says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Blessed. If you go to him and ask him to forgive you, you're blessed. And then the part of you that he said, Yeshimiah, you shan't die, you're not going to die. Let's remember the words of Jesus to the sisters of Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's the question, isn't it? Do you believe this? Not do they believe this, not do y'all believe this, but do you believe this? Do you believe that blessed is the person who doesn't have sin held in their account? Do you believe that if you believe in Jesus, you're not going to die? That's what God said. That's what Jesus said. When the King David departed Jerusalem, the whole world was messed up. When Jesus ascended, the whole world was messed up. But as David's coming back in, he's making everything right. Guess what? When Jesus Christ returns, he's going to make everything right. And we can look forward to the return of our King. And just as David didn't punish anybody that came to him after the rebellion and said, you know what, I'm going to serve you, King. God doesn't punish people when they come to him and say, God, you know what? I've been rebellious. Please forgive me. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. God says, okay. All those who ask him to be their king, he forgives. We need to understand there's kingdoms of this world. And you know what? They're going to fall. This kingdom of Absalom, it fell. Why? It's filled with rebellion, envy, lies, deceit. It's just never going to last. But the kingdom of David, the Bible says, lasts forever. See, because from the seed of David came Jesus. And the Bible says, and of his power, his rule, his reign, there won't be any end. So what we all have to decide is which kingdom we're going to serve. Are we going to serve Absalom's kingdom? That's all about me. It's about materialism. It's about what I can get. That kingdom is going to fall. That's the way the world thinks. And friend, if you want to think that way, you can think that way. But that kingdom is going to fall. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to serve the real king, the true and living king, because that's the kingdom that will last. We all have to make that decision. If we're going to serve Absalom, or we're going to serve the true and living king. If we're going to serve ourselves, or we're going to serve the Lord. One last thing before we close. As I was looking at this, looking at David's grief, and I was comparing it to when he lost the child with Bathsheba, and I was thinking, there's something different going on. And then I read commentaries that said, well, this was the difference and that was the difference. One interesting point, and I think this one had validity, is that David knew where that little child was going. He said, I'm going to see him again. And I don't think he had that assurance with Absalom. But I think there was something deeper going on. Absalom messed up. He left the kingdom and he came back. And when he came back, he was not allowed to be part of the king's court. And I wonder if in the back of David's mind, in his heart, if he thought, what would have happened had I welcomed Absalom back to my table? What would have happened had I forgiven Absalom? I think that's the part that was tearing David up. Have you ever had somebody that died that you had aught against, that you were offended over, and then you hadn't forgiven them, you hadn't straightened that out? That'll wear you down. But tonight, we're given several gifts. And the fact that we're sitting here, we worship with one another, we got to go through this incredible Bible study. We have a choice before us of serving the kingdom of light or serving ourselves. And we also have an opportunity to think about the Absaloms in our lives. And we cannot invite them back to the king's table, or we can extend grace the way the Father did in the parable of the prodigal son. Which did Jesus do? Which did God do to us? He welcomed us back.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's home church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com.
That sounds good, Pastor D.A., and again, it's been great to have you with us on the program today. But tell us, what else can our listeners find on crossthebridge.com?
Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Those are terrific, and it's easy and it's free. So folks, sign up today at crossthebridge.com. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.